Toward the beginning of his speech last night, Charles Murray thanked police and private security who worked the event. There were, in Murray's words, enough security to take out a small army. In fact, the Indiana University Police Department estimates there were 70 police officers from three different agencies working the event, in addition to more personnel from a private security firm, ESG Security. In total, security easily outnumbered the roughly 60 people who attended the speech by Murray, who is described by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a white nationalist. Police and ESG personnel were stationed at every entrance to Franklin Hall, where the event was taking place. They checked for tickets and searched the belongings of each person who entered the event. Officers were stationed in the front of the building, an area that was barricaded off to prohibit protesters from coming near the main entrance. Others were positioned on top of a nearby building, looking down on the scene. And inside, there were officers standing throughout the perimeter of President's Hall, the room in which Murray spoke and took questions for about an hour. Many protesters, including IU student T. Lawrence, took issue with the police presence.
I really don't care for their presence at all. They really don't need to be here. Like, no one's gonna put their hands on this man. We don't care enough. Like, he's not worth us being in jail. But we do need to get a point across that he doesn't belong here and we don't want him here.
Lawrence was one of a few hundred people who gathered outside Franklin Hall to protest the event. Many held signs with messages including "No platform for racists at IU" and "Freedom of speech is not freedom from dissent." Murray is criticized particularly for his 1994 book, The Bell Curve, in which he attempts to explain social inequality through genetics. In the words of the Southern Poverty Law Center, Murray uses, quote, "racist pseudoscience and misleading statistics to argue that social inequality is caused by the genetic inferiority of the Black and Latino communities, women, and the poor," unquote. Speaking to a group of protesters before the event, graduate student Anushka Sen referred to the large security presence in explaining why she advocated a boycott of the speech.
Murray being invited to talk is not the same as discussing controversial ideas. It is inviting the very same man who came up with those ideas, who was invited. He had the security of the university space, of the goodwill of being a guest of the university. And it is not a space where people will feel encouraged to challenge him on his viewpoints. So it's not like a classroom situation where we take up his opinions and discuss them in a light where everybody has that freedom. It is bringing in a person who has all that weight of security behind him, a weight that is actually literally visible in front of us right now. Yeah.
Police and security personnel stood mostly silent, rarely interacting with protesters, as the speech began inside at around 6 p.m. Outside, protesters played music, chanted, and danced on the side of Franklin Hall. Their words, including the simple, profane, three-word chant, "F. Charles Murray," were audible inside President's Hall as Murray spoke. Protesters gave varying reasons for attending the rally outside the event. Alyssa Beauchamp said she was happy to be part of a resistance based in, as she said, joy, community, and solidarity.
I think that Charles Murray has come to a place of higher learning, and his scholarship has been pretty debunked a few times now. Things like the bell curve. I understand that he's written a new book, but I think it's pretty hard to trust someone in their future scholarship if you know their past. As a woman of color, I felt it was my duty to come here and to at least show some form of resistance. I think that when ideas like Murray's are met without resistance, they think that they're applicable and that everyone loves them. You have the right to come here and say whatever it is that you want, but this is also my community. You don't live here. You don't go to school here. And I'm here to show up for the people who you essentially marginalize through your writing, who you claim are less intelligent.
As the time approached 7 o'clock when Murray was scheduled to be finished speaking, protesters spread out around the building, with groups at each exit. Some said they wanted a brief chance to speak with Murray. Many of the protesters congregated in an area just north of Franklin Hall, where several cars were parked, including some police cars. When police tried to move those cars, several people sat down in their path, insisting they wanted to talk with Murray before they would clear the path. Officers threatened to arrest the group, which started as a few people but grew to dozens within minutes. Some officers told the group that Murray had already left the building.
No, he's not here. He is gone. He left out the building.
Like, we've been walking around the building.
Where?
He is not here.
We have
not
every gone. Exit covered.
Gone.
Where?
Where did he leave from?
Do you think they'll walk out the back door?
Where did he leave? He's been around all the doors.
It turned out that, in fact, Murray had not left the building. Just a few moments later, he emerged from the other side of the building where other protesters were waiting. Murray got into a car and left without incident, but as he did so, police detained a woman they said was blocking a car's path. Not the car Murray was in, they say a different car. Officers quickly took the woman into Franklin Hall, pursued by a mass of protesters who quickly demanded her release.
You garbage! F*** you!
Protesters rattled and then moved the metal barricades erected earlier that day by police, moving closer to Franklin Hall. In their way was a line of police who stood arm to arm. The group continued to chant for more than 20 minutes, gradually moving closer to police, who eventually backed up closer to the building. The protesters began using the detained woman's name, Stella. The group demanding Stella's release continued to grow as the minutes passed, and eventually it was announced that she had been released, leaving out of a different exit at Franklin Hall. But that did not stop the protest at the south doors of the building, as police continued to stand in line blocking the door, and many protesters took the opportunity to criticize police for going to such great lengths to protect a white nationalist speaker.
You're protecting a white supremacist! Wake the f- They are white supremacists!
Yeah. You know, historically, just saying, I was just doing my job isn't a very good defense.
Yeah!
Police stayed mostly silent and later entered Franklin Hall, where they locked the doors. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford.